therefore, is that which is honorable, that which is subject to bounds. I have declared that man's life would be more blessed than that of the gods, if those things which the gods do not enjoy are goods, such as money and offices of dignity. There is this further consideration. If only it is true that our souls, when released from the body, still abide, a happier condition is in store for them than is theirs while they dwell in the body. And yet, if those things are goods which we make use of for our body's sake, our souls will be worse off when set free. And that is contrary to our belief, to say that the soul is happier when it is cabined and confined than when it is free and has betaken itself to the universe. I also said that if those things which dumb animals possess equally with man are goods, then dumb animals also will lead a happy life, which is, of course, impossible. One must endure all things in defense of that which is honorable. But this would not be necessary if there existed any other good besides that which is honorable. Although this question was discussed by me pretty extensively in a previous letter, I have discussed it summarily and briefly run through the argument. But an opinion of this kind will never seem true to you unless you exalt your mind and ask yourself whether, at the call of duty, you would be willing to die for your country and buy the safety of all your fellow citizens at the price of your own. Whether you would offer your neck not only with patience, but also with gladness. If you would do this, there is no other good in your eyes, for you are giving up everything in order to acquire this good. Consider how great is the power of that which is honorable. You will die for your country, even at a moment's notice, when you know that you ought to do so. Sometimes, as a result of noble conduct, one wins great joy, even in a very short and fleeting space of time. And though none of the fruits of a deed that has been done will accrue to the doer after he is dead and removed from the sphere of human affairs, yet the mere contemplation of a deed that is to be done is a delight, and the brave and upright man, picturing to himself the guerdons of his death, guerdons such as the freedom of his country and the deliverance of all those for whom he is paying out his life, partakes of the greatest pleasure and enjoys the fruit of his own peril. But that man also who is deprived of this joy, the joy which is afforded by the contemplation of some last noble effort, will leap to his death without a moment's hesitation, content to act rightly and dutifully. Moreover, you may confront him with many discouragements. You may say, "Your deed will speedily be forgotten," or, "Your fellow citizens will offer you scant thanks." He will answer, "All these matters lie outside my task. My thoughts are on the deed itself. I know that this is honorable. Therefore, whithersoever I am led and summoned by honor, I will go." This, therefore, is the only good. And not only is every soul that has reached perfection aware of it, but also every soul that is by nature noble and of right instincts. All other goods are trivial and mutable. For this reason, we are harassed if we possess them, even though, by the kindness of fortune, they have been heaped together. They weigh heavily upon their owners, always pressing them down and sometimes crushing them. None of those whom you behold clad in purple is happy, any more than one of these actors upon whom the play bestows a scepter and a cloak while on the stage. They strut their hour before a crowded house with swelling port and buskined foot, but once they make their exit, the foot gear is removed, and they return to their proper stature. None of those who have been raised to a loftier height by riches and honors is really great. Why, then, does he seem great to you? It is because you are measuring the pedestal along with the man. A dwarf is not tall, though he stand upon a mountain top. A colossal statue will still be tall, though you place it in a well. This is the error under which we labor. This is the reason why we are imposed upon. We value no man at what he is, but add to the man himself the trappings in which he is clothed. But when you wish to inquire into a man's true worth, and to know what manner of man he is, look at him when he is naked. Make him lay aside his inherited estate, his titles, and the other deceptions of fortune. Let him even strip off his body. Consider his soul, its quality and its stature, and thus learn whether its greatness is borrowed or its own. If a man can behold with unflinching eyes the flash of a sword, if he knows that it makes no difference to him whether his soul takes flight through his mouth or through a wound in his throat, you may call him happy. You may also call him happy if, when he is threatened with bodily torture, whether it be the result of accident or of the might of the stronger, he can, without concern, hear talk of chains or of exile or of all the idle fears that stir men's minds, and can say, O maiden, no new sudden form of toil springs up before my eyes. Within my soul, I have forestalled and surveyed everything. Today it is you who threaten me with these terrors, but I have always threatened myself with them, and have prepared myself as a man to meet man's destiny. If an evil has been pondered beforehand, the blow is gentle when it comes. To the fool, however, and to him who trusts in fortune, each event, as it arrives, comes in a new and sudden form, and a large part of evil, to the inexperienced, consists in its novelty. This is proved by the fact that men endure with greater courage, when they have once become accustomed to them, the things which they had at first regarded as hardships. Hence, the wise man accustoms himself to coming trouble, lightening by long reflection the evils which others lighten by long endurance. We sometimes hear the inexperienced say, I knew that this was in store for me. But the wise man knows that all things are in store for him. Whatever happens, he says, I knew it. Farewell. Letter 77. On Taking One's Own Life.